Hi, you're listening to the Petri.com MJF Chat Show. I am Mary Jo Foley, aka your Petri.com community magnet, and I am here to interview tech industry experts about various topics that you, our readers and listeners, want to know about. So today's MJF Chat is going to be all about the Windows Subsystem for Linux, WSL. And my special guest today is Microsoft Program Manager of WSL, Craig Lowen. Welcome, Craig, and thank you so much for doing this chat with me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm excited. For people who don't know, and if you don't know what WSL is, I don't know what rock you've been living under, but WSL is what lets developers run a Linux environment, including most command line tools, utilities, and apps, directly on Windows 10 and Windows Server. I remember when Microsoft first introduced WSL in Windows 10 in 2016, it was kind of more of an Linux interface at that point, designed in partnership with Canonical. But Microsoft has been busy re-architecting WSL with WSL 2 so that it actually will provide a Microsoft-written Linux kernel running in a lightweight virtual machine that's based on the subset of Hyper-V. So some big changes are coming up, Craig.
Oh, yes. We're very excited.
Yeah. And so are our readers, because this chat got tons of reader questions, which I take as a good thing. It means it's a very hot topic. So I am just going to jump right in and read off some of these reader questions and let you take it from there.
Perfect. Sounds great.
Okay. So reader Nunix, who also goes by WSL Corsair in the forums on Petri, says, will it be possible in a future release or in some future release to attach additional VHDs in WSL 2 or beyond? And the reason he is asking this is he says WSL 2 is a perfect platform for learning Linux, and attaching additional disks could help in, quote, playing with RAID or even LVM functionalities.
Yes, that's a great question. I'm familiar with Nuno, so glad that we're getting a shout out from him. Yeah. And we're looking into that as a feature request. It's something that we're definitely aware of. So as of today, if you have a virtual hard disk, like an EXT4 formatted hard disk on your machine, you can mount that as a virtual hard disk. And the ask there is to have a physical hard disk that you can also mount into WSL. And we're looking into the possibility of that.
Okay. So stay tuned, basically.
Stay tuned.
Might happen. Hopefully will happen. Cool. Okay. Another reader question. Ben the Builder asked, will WSL 2 support native Docker? And do you have any insight into whether we'll be able to leverage WSL 2 for running Linux containers via Docker for Windows natively versus using Mobi VM?
That is a great question. And yes, we're actually really excited to say that, as you mentioned, WSL 2 includes a full Linux kernel. That means it has 100% system call compatibility. So you can run the Linux version of Docker directly in WSL 2 right away. So when you install and run your Ubuntu instance, you can just install Docker the same way you would on a Linux machine and get access to that right away. So Linux containers are really simplified with that process inside WSL 2, which is really exciting.
Cool.
And even more exciting than that, we actually have also been communicating with the Docker Desktop for Windows team. And so they are the team that's responsible for that Mobi Linux VM that was mentioned in the question. And very quickly, how the architecture works for that is you download Docker Desktop for Windows, which is a .exe, and has some other components. And when you run that, it spins up a VM, like a virtual machine, on your Windows box. And that was, for the past while, how Linux containers on Windows worked with Docker Desktop for Windows. And what they've done is they've released a tech preview, they being the Docker Desktop for Windows team. They've released a tech preview that targets WSL 2 on the back end. So instead of having the Mobi Linux VM, it targets WSL 2 and adds basically some WSL 2 distros to your machine that make all your containers run. So all your containers run inside there. And that's really exciting because there's tons of performance improvements with this architectural change, such as the startup time goes from 45 seconds to 5 seconds, much better CPU and memory allocation, and way better network access. And so the Docker Desktop for Windows team is really excited and to start using WSL2 and start releasing more tech previews with it.
Very cool. You know, I was remiss at the beginning of this chat and not asking you a little bit more about you. And I'm going to ask you that now, because now we're going to get into some articles with, I'd like to hear Craig's thoughts on dot, dot, dot. So before I ask you those questions, could you tell the listeners a little bit about how you came to be the program manager for WSL?
Yeah. So I went to the University of Waterloo in Canada. So I'm Canadian A. And
you hide it well, though. I barely noticed.
I haven't dropped any A's yet. and so I had the opportunity to intern at Microsoft. And so I had an internship in 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And I worked with the Windows console team and the Windows subsystem for Linux team, which were pretty much the same thing at that point. And I came back for full-time work. So now I live in Redmond, Washington, and I work full-time on the Windows subsystem for Linux directly. And so that's kind of been my path on how to get there. My background is actually in robotics engineering. So I studied mechatronics, which sounds like a transformer. so that's been where what I studied at university, but now I do Windows Subsystem Linux full time.
Very cool. Okay. So I wanted to ask you that before I ask you this next question, which is very much an opinion question.
All right.
Reader Joseph Finney says, I'd be curious to hear Craig's thoughts about an article from the founder of Basecamp on his attempt to return to Windows after 20 years because it now can have a Linux command line. So he's talking about this article that got published on signalvnoise.com from the founder of Basecamp and about just what he said, returning to Windows after 20 years. And so Joseph Finney says in that article, the author finds WSL too slow and limited for his needs as a Ruby on Rails developer. So he ends up going back to the Mac. So he's asking your opinion on this article, and whether you've read it or not, I think you could still comment on, you know, the claim that it's too slow and limited. Have you heard that from other people who've been testing it and using it?
Yeah, so I haven't actually read that specific article. So okay. I'll just comment entirely on the claim of, hey, WSL is slow and limited. Because actually that's feedback that we have heard, especially from web developers. And that's the reason behind the Windows subsystem for Linux 2 and that architecture. So if you've used WSL before, and you might have used it way back when it was called Bash on Ubuntu on Windows, a lot of changes have happened under the scenes, behind the scenes. And so what we've done is the previous architecture, the current widely available architecture of the Windows subsystem for Linux uses a translation layer. And so what that means is you have actual Linux user space binaries. Whenever they call into a system call, we translate that to the Windows equivalent Windows NT kernel system calls. And then we, you know, whatever reply we get back, we translate that back and send that back up to the Linux user space binaries. And so from a technical perspective, we've implemented the application binary interface. Everything runs under the same kernel at the end of the day. And that is a really cool solution. That is also a very challenging solution with lots of technical challenges behind it, because obviously Linux and Windows are different, and sometimes things work great, and sometimes things are much more challenging to implement. For example, if you have a file open inside of a folder, and I try to rename that folder, in Linux, that's totally fine. It'll let you do that. In Windows, however, the choice there is it will say, hey, you have a file open inside of this folder. You can't do that. And on the Windows Subsystem for Linux team, how do we implement a solution for that that respects both scenarios? That's very challenging. And so that's why we've moved to the Windows Subsystem for Linux 2, which has a change in architecture. And we have changed from a translation layer to a virtualization-based approach. And so with that virtualization-based approach, we have a full Linux kernel. We actually make a very lightweight utility virtual machine that spins up whenever you run your WSL2 instance. And that thing is awesome. It spins up in about a second. It has the exact same user experience as WSL2. And you still can access all your files and run your Windows executable straight from Bash, and has some really great performance improvements. And so the two big areas of feedback they were trying to address with WSL2 was file system performance, so making things run faster, and system call compatibility. And WSL2 runs way faster than WSL1. If you put everything into your Linux root file system, you can get about 3 to 5 times faster for things like git clone or CMake. And if you're doing really file intensive things like unzipping a tarball, it can get up to like 20 times faster, which is significant. And with the full Linux kernel, more things will run.
Nice. I'm going to add one of my own questions here, and I feel like I should know the answer to this, but I do not. Yet I've been asked this a few times. So given that you're going to be running on a lightweight hypervisor with WSL2, does that mean people will be able to run WSL2 on Windows 10 Home or no?
Yes. So you will be able to run WSL2 on Windows 10 Home. So what that means, so the kind of confusion there is Hyper-V, the Hyper-V optional component, is not available on Windows 10 Home.
Right. That's why I was wondering that. Yeah.
Right. So we are actually dependent on this optional component called the Virtual Machine Platform optional component. And so that enables the Hyper-V architecture on your machine. It actually enables the Type 1 hypervisor on your machine and allows you to call into Hyper-V architecture, like API calls. Mm-hmm. But it is not the full Hyper-V optional component. It's kind of a tricky answer of yes, you are able to do it on Windows 10 Home. However, you use the Virtual Machine Platform optional component.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now we're going to go to some questions from Twitter, because we get a lot of those as well, not just people from the Petri forums. Adam Richman on Twitter asked, are there any potential possibilities upcoming to produce a Red Hat Enterprise Linux WSL distribution with Red Hat?
Yes, so I saw that. I saw that question on Twitter, and I also saw that Matt, who works on Fedora and Red Hat, also commented.
And I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah, and so the answer actually is right now, if you wanted, you could run any Linux distribution inside of the Windows subsystem for Linux. Mm-hmm. We added a feature in Windows version 19.03, which allows you to import any WSL distribution. And we also added an export feature so you can export any of your WSL distros. And so all you need is a tar.gz file. So there's my Canadian sneaking in. tar.gz file. And all you need is that. And it has the Linux user space binaries that you'd want to include. And you can run WSL --import, and then import that as a WSL distro. And so what's really actually exciting about that is you can take any Docker container, you can export the Docker container, it'll export as a tar.gz, and then you can import that directly into WSL. So we've actually seen some exciting community-driven tools, like what Nuno, who had a question earlier, he worked on one using Porter that has a command line to say, hey, I want this Docker container as a WSL distro. So you could use CentOS or RHEL or Fedora via that means as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wondered when I saw his question if he was asking it because of IBM taking over Red Hat and then thinking that might change the scenario somehow. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say that. So that's just me projecting on that. okay, here we have to have at least one person with Penguin in the name, or it is not a Linux chat. So here's Cozy Penguin on Twitter asking, how fast is WSL compared to running a distribution on its own?
Right.
And I don't know how really you can quantify that, but whatever. I'd like to hear what you say.
Yeah, so we already touched on WSL1 versus WSL2. So let's compare this to WSL2, which is really the exciting part. And I'm going to take my opinion of that question or my interpretation is they mean on the same machine with the same hardware. You know, if I ran bare metal Linux and then I ran the same distribution with the same workflow on the same hardware, what would the performance difference be? Mm-hmm. Sound fair?
Yep.
Right. So it's about, it's very similar. It's about, I'd say, it depends on what you're doing, but probably you're going to have like a 5 to 10% performance difference based on just the virtualization overhead, right? Mm-hmm. Where we have a virtual machine running, so bare metal Linux is going to be slightly faster. So there's actually a really cool report done by the Phoronix team. So Phoronix Labs, they do speed comparisons of different machines and different tooling sets. And they did a speed comparison of WSL1 compared to WSL2 compared to bare metal Linux. And they released the whole wide array of results that they found. And overall, it's quite similar. So it's hard to quantify because it's different for every case. But I would say it's similar.
Okay, that's good. Very good. Another Twitter question, Andre Medic. When will users be able to orchestrate Linux containers using WSL2 on Service Fabric and Kubernetes clusters?
That's a great question. That's probably a feature request that we'd have to look into. So it would be on Azure, taking in onto the Service Fabric to use WSL2 to create containers. Is that the ask there?
I think. Well, he said... when will they be able to orchestrate Linux containers using WSL2 on Service Fabric and Kubernetes clusters?
Right.
So there's a few ways we could interpret that, I think.
Yeah. So if you're using WSL2 and you're interested in Kubernetes, actually everything out there like runs out of the box. So you can install your kubectl or whatever other tools that you might want to use and still have access to that. And if you wanted to, you know, use your Kubernetes tools, you can just do it the Linux way in a WSL2 distro. As well, Docker Desktop for Windows actually has Kubernetes support in it that works with the WSL2 distros. So that's another great way to get it set up. And Service Fabric, I would have to check on the solutions there. But for Kubernetes and orchestrating a bunch of containers, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you can do already in WSL2.
Nice. Okay, great. Now we've got a hypervisor question from Tony Morrow on Twitter. He said, are there any updates about having third-party hypervisors installed and running WSL2 at the same time? I currently use WSL1 and VMware Workstation for different tasks. I've seen that Microsoft says they're investigating ways to help resolve the issue so that VMware and versions of VirtualBox prior to 6 might be able to run when WSL2 is enabled. But he's asking, is there any further update beyond that?
Yes, great question. So one of the challenges with WSL2 is when you enable that Type 1 hypervisor, there are other third-party VM applications that also require Type 1 hypervisor. Which is VirtualBox and VMware are really the popular ones. And VirtualBox, as of 6.0.0, which is what the question referenced, actually does include support for the Hyper-V hypervisor as a fallback hypervisor. So we actually publish public APIs for the hypervisor, and we're working with those companies like VirtualBox and VMware to help enable them so that there isn't that break in compatibility when you have both enabled. So there aren't any updates specifically from me, but VirtualBox 6.0.0 does support the Hyper-V hypervisor as a fallback, and VMware has publicly announced that they are investigating using a Hyper-V as a alternate hypervisor. So I'd probably look more online. There's a great post by Ben Armstrong on that.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. A question from someone whose name on Twitter is Scam Likely, but I don't actually think it's a scam. His handle is Agent09 on Twitter.
Perfect.
He asked, oftentimes using WSL alone is not enough. Utilizing a third-party solution like X410 or another X server client becomes a necessity. Is there any talk among the WSL team about making devs' lives easier by incorporating an integrated solution for Linux-exclusive GUI dev apps? That's a mouthful.
Yeah, great question. So, is there any talk among the team of how to make dev lives better? Of course.
Yes.
And so for GUI apps, yes, we're investigating that. That is certainly a feature request that we've heard often, which is to enable GUI applications inside of WSL2. And we don't have any updates on that, but we are looking into how to make that possible. And so really, the current solution is you have third-party X servers, and you mentioned it, like X410 and mm-hmm. something like that. And you can connect to your WSL2 distro with that third-party X server to power some GUI applications. Mm-hmm. So we don't really have any updates there, but it is certainly on our radar. That's definitely a feature that we're interested in.
Okay, cool. Phil Hoffman on Twitter asks, will we continue to see improvements to the Linux/Windows shim, LXSS, LX Core in the future, or will this shift over to the Linux VM in WSL2? Also, he has a two-part question. Also, are there any future plans to improve the small file performance for NTFS or other Windows file systems?
Okay, so two parts. So yep. First part, when he talks about the LX Core, he's referencing WSL1, and so that's the translation layer that we talked about before.
Okay. That's the translation layer. Okay. There we go.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And so, are there plans to improve that? Yes. We are still looking at improving WSL1 as well, and we are the question there, as I interpret it, is are you deprecating WSL1 now that WSL2 is there? Is this totally gone? And no, definitely not. We're still iterating on user feedback. We think WSL2 has a lot of great benefits that's going to excite a lot of users. But we're still, we still have bug fixes that we're releasing for WSL1, and we're still improving that. So that's the answer for part one. Nice. Part two, are we looking at improving the Windows NT file system? Is that correct?
He said any plans to improve the small file performance for NTFS?
Okay. So that's not exactly my area of expertise the Windows NTFS. If he's talking about it from a WSL2 perspective of, hey, if I'm accessing my Windows files on my Windows file system in WSL2, that's a piece of feedback that we have heard of the cross OS file system performance in WSL2. We're totally aware that, we want to improve that experience there. And we want to increase that file system performance. So for that use case.
Okay, great. Well, that is the bulk of the questions. I spared you a few of the even more esoteric ones than the ones I've listed here. I saw some discussions around colors and green shades of green, and I'm like, I'm going to just leave those out. So
yes.
Anyway, thank you so much for doing this chat, Craig. It's been really great. And I know based on how many questions there were, it's a big topic our readers and listeners are interested in. So thanks.
Thank you. It was awesome. I'm very glad that we can answer some questions.
Me too. And for everyone else who's listening to this, all you MJF Chat readers and listeners, we're taking a break until the new year with MJF Chat after this one. But we're already lining up our guests for 2020. So after Christmas, I'll be posting information on Petri so you can see who I'm going to be chatting with to kick off the new year. And once you see that, you can submit your questions on Twitter for the guest. In the meantime, if you or someone you know might make a good guest for one of these chats, please do not hesitate to drop me a note. All my contact information is available on petri.com. Thanks again.